because so the study of Siddhanta strengthens our faith. But Siddhanta should not be mixed with Lila because it undermines the madhurya or the sweetness of Lila. Sometimes Lila is just Lila, just a pastime. But there's a whole Siddhanta understanding. In other words, you have to understand what the potencies of Radha are and Krishna are, and what is Madhurya Bhav. Should not be mixed with Lila. And when you're studying Lila, you're just like, sometimes you say, well, wait a minute, Krishna's God, how come he's, because that's with Brahma. Brahma was mixing Siddhanta with Lila. Brahma was saying, he couldn't appreciate Krishna's having this Lila as a coward boy. Hey, wait a minute, he's God, how come he's just playing, he's rolling in the mud, and he's supposed to be God, and he has all these potencies, he can't do that. But he's the absolute truth, and he has all power, he's just like acting like a human being. So you try to limit, you know, if you drag yourself, because Siddhanta is like, God is all the absolute powerful, all-powerful, omnipotent creator. But he's also free, you know, to throw all that away and just act like an ordinary little dependent kid. He's the supreme independent one. Yeah. Yeah, you have to know Siddhanta as a foundation to understand. It's the two points. One is to understand all Siddhanta as a foundation to enable you guys to understand the Leelas properly, not offend the Leelas, not to make it Lokiki. Lokiki Leela means to think it's mundane, it's Lokiki means of this world. It's a Divya Leela, it's transcendental pastime, spiritual. Completely transcendental. So they need Siddhanta as a foundation to understand it, but then when you're just reading it, it undermines the sweetness of the Lila. If you drag it into, well, wait a minute, Krishna's God, he shouldn't be doing that. And you have to, it's like a Siddhanta to be able to approach it and understand it properly, but then when you're reading Lila, just let the Lila go, appreciate the sweetness of it without trying to drag Siddhanta into it. And it'll come more if you study the whole book. According to Siddhanta, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. But in Braj Leela, neither Krishna nor his parents and playmates are aware of his divinity. If they were, many sweet Leelas would not be possible. In other words, there's this thing called Yoga Maya. There's Mahamaya and Yoga Maya. Maya is a covering of illusion. But Yoga Maya is a covering of spiritual illusion. Because they're always thinking, oh, he's God, he's God. Like Vasudeva, when Devaki, when Krishna came to Mathura, they said, oh my gosh, they realized our son's actually God. So they had Aishwarya. They couldn't have sweetness. They saw him, they folded their hands. Oh, Krishna. You know. So they couldn't embrace him. They couldn't offer the breast milk to him. But they thought, well, he's God now. Like, we can't fool around now. Our son became God, or he's God. Like, but in Braj, they don't have that idea. The Siddhanta is not there. So the sweetness can be there. He said, Nanda Baba would not allow Krishna to put his shoes over his head, and Sridham would not allow him to carry them on his shoulders or eat their remnants. Like we say, there's an example, Sridham, and they're eating their prasad, and it's, oh, Krishna, this rascal is so nice, my mother made, here, try it. And they say, take a bite, and then they give it to Krishna. That's a very intimate thing, that's very sweet in exchange. If there's any, if there's formality, if there's distance or awe and reverence and respect, it could never happen. You know, just like, you know, like some... Now just imagine, you know, some guru disciple, very formal relationship or something, and they're eating together and the guru takes something off the disciple's plate and eats it. That's like, you know, that's a pretty informal experience. Like disciple, you know, people that don't understand it. What? How's it possible? What is it doing? You can't do that. But it's Krishna prasadam. It's always transcendental. Even if a dog eats it, it's not contaminated. Well, to speak of the guru's disciple. Remember, it's always Krishna. Siddhanta is merely for understanding Lila. Siddhanta is merely for understanding. Lila is for meditation and the enjoyment of Rasa. We shall therefore now leave our understanding to gaze on the pastoral land of Siddhanta. He's a good writer, a very good writer, actually. Huh? It's just an introduction to his next section. He says, we shall now therefore leave, he said, Siddhanta is merely for understanding, to understand. Lila is for meditation, or smarana, and the enjoyment of rasa. Just like when you read Govinda Lila Amrita, that's for Lila Smarana, but there's no Siddhanta there. Just like Krishna did this and Krishna did that. You sit back and say, wait a minute, this just sounds like a boy and girl. And she's picking flowers, and he's saying, hey, what are you picking flowers in my garden for? Who gave you permission? And they have an argument, and she gets mad, and he tries to make up and buys her some candy, and, you know, says he's sorry. It just seems, you know, you forget it. Because then you can't, then the Ras, you can't appreciate the Ras. Of course, you study Ras, and you understand all the different Rasas and all the different exchanges, the arbitrary Vavs, and all the different Vavs. And then you're purified of all Rasas, then you can actually relish Ras. The actual taste of what this change, of this transcendental exchange, of this totally spiritual. It's all based on Ras. And Rasa means Rasa Vai Soul, or Rasa Ham Apikonteya, which is divine, a taste of water. So Ras is a taste, Ras is a flavor. It's the ultimate experience of love. So, talks about the desire to like these things appearance. Can you read all that? Radha and Krishna become one in the form of Lord Chaitanya. But sometimes the Radha aspect of is expressing herself, and sometimes Krishna aspect is expressing. That's why Krishna's Kaviraj says that ek rup dui, is that what that phrase is? Ek pran dui rup. This is so when that ek pran is an ek rup, ek pran dui rup, ek one life, two forms. That is the one life. The life of Radha is Krishna, the life of Krishna is Radha. They're each other's life. There's only one life. And dui rup, two forms. But when that ek rup becomes ek, when that ek pran becomes ek rup, that is Lord Chaitanya. But within that one form of Lord Chaitanya, Radha and Krishna are also there. Lord Chaitanya says, Bahir Krishna, Bahir Radha, Antar Krishna. Or Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahyanya. This is Bahir Radha. So outside is the form and color of Radharani, but inside is Krishna. So sometimes in the Mayapur Leela, Mahaprabhu is in the mode of Krishna. That, you know, when playing with the coward boys and doing so many things. But then when he goes to, when he takes sannyas and goes to Puri, then it's completely in the mood of Radharani, Radha Bhav. And he tells Gadadhar to go stay with Gopinath. And because in Navadvipa, sometimes Gadadhar acts as Radharani and Shiva Sangam. They enter Braj Bhav. Then Mahaprabhu takes the mood of Krishna, Muralidhar. And at that time, in the mood of Krishna, Muralidhar, dancing in Ras Leela and Shiva Sangam, Gadadhar acts as Radharani and serves him betel and pan, and they dance like ecstatic in love, and they lie together, and it's all on the platform of Bhav. But that's Krishna. But in Puri, he's in a different mood, it's really Radharani. Maybe that's the message of it. Well, let's just, we'll discuss more reasons next time. I tell you, quote, out of practice, quote from the Mathura Mahatmyam by Rupa Goswami. A person who stays in Vrindavan becomes free from all sins. Adi Purana. With every step he takes in Vrindavan, he gets the results of going to all other holy places. Except by chance. I mean, we didn't plan this class or anything. It's just planned by the super soul. It's always told by the devotees that when the Gurudev speaks, they feel like Krishna is speaking, like they're speaking directly to them. That will be true with every sincere worshipper and servant of the Guru. There may be 50 devotees in the Bhagavatam class, and Gurudev is speaking. And out of those 50 devotees, 10 devotees after class will come together at different times, and they'll say, you know, I had the experience that Gurudev was sometimes in many points he said I felt were directly to me. Another person will say, meditation is great, meditation is great. So maybe out of those 50 devotees in class, 50 disciples, say, 10 of them say like that. Those are the 10 that are actually following. They're sincerely following. And the other 40 are in Maya, to some extent. Because Gurudev is speaking to, whenever he speaks in Bhagavatam class, that is Sangha. That is Sangha, that is Sankirtan. That is Sankirtan Jagya. Sankirtan is all, Kirtan for everyone. San means everyone, and Kirtan means Sankirtan. It means vibration for everyone. Vibration of everyone and for everyone. When Gurudev is speaking in Bhagavatam, it is Sankirtan. It is for everyone, especially for his disciples. So those disciples are actually following and are eager to hear. Because if one follows the principles properly and one follows the order of the spiritual master, he'll be eager to hear from spiritual master. As a natural thing, he'll be attracted and attached to hearing from spiritual master. Because that's the initial, the initial awakening of attraction and attachment for Krishna is seeing an attraction and attachment to hear from spiritual master. When you go to Bhagavatam classes, that attraction, you sit there, definitely 100% without fail, something will be said to you, to your heart, and to your soul, and for your benefit from your Gurudev. That is a fact. And you go to Gurudev's class, and you go away and say, well, hi, what do you think of class?
Yeah, I heard before.
Nothing impressed me. That means there's something wrong with your disciple. There's something wrong. Not standing properly, not serving, making offenses, mistreating the devotees, somehow not correctly following. But one is following correctly, the class will have something. With every step he takes in Mathura, so we're just talking about walk. This Rupa Goswami is quoting different pranas, and just by walking in Vrindavan, you get the benefit of going on these yatras, sacred pilgrimage. With every step he takes from Vrindavan, he gets the results of going to all other holy places. You go to Hardwar, you go to Rishikesh, you go to Badrinath, you go to any place, you go to Allahabad, to Kumbh Mela. You know, you go all those other places, and you just take one step in Vrindavan, of course, if you're riding a bicycle, another thing. But if you are stepping in the land of Vrindavan, because it does take one step, then you get the results of going to all the holy places. Any person who bathes in Vrindavan becomes free from the most terrible sins. That's why Ekadasi is a good day to bathe. Ekadasi, Purnima, Amavasya, these are very, very auspicious days to bathe in Jamuna. Or Radhakunda, somewhere sacred. Any person who bathes in Vrindavan becomes free from the most terrible sins. Ungrateful person, sounds like us, right? We're ungrateful. Drunkards, thieves, and they who have broken their vows become free from all sins when they enter Vrindavan. The Adi Varaha Purana says, sins are destroyed by the sight of Vrindavan. To touch the dust of the feet of they who live there for 3 nights purifies one. That's why when you travel, if you go somewhere and people that you meet are devotee types, if they say, where are you from? Or especially if you say, because we had the experience, because oftentimes when Indians meet each other, they say, where are you from? Where are you born? So I'm born in Vrindavan. And they say, oh. Then they say, what is your Gotra? And they say, well, I'm Brahmin Gotra. And as soon as you say that, you're in South India or something, or any some place where people are a little unlearned, those people will touch your feet. They may be your senior, they may be older than you, or even respected, or whatever. They'll touch your feet. Oh, you're a Brijbasi? And they'll touch your feet. So they understand that the person who lives in Vrindavan or is born in Vrindavan, they become transformed by the contact with the Chinmoy Dham. Vrindavan is Chinmoy Dham, so their body, their skin, their bones, their mind becomes transformed by continual contact with the holy Dham of Vrindavan. So here is emphasizing this point to the maximum extent. To touch the dust of the feet of someone who's living there for 3 nights will purify one. In other words, even the pilgrims, that's why it says in the 10 offenses of the Holy Dham, it says that one should not offend the residents of the Holy Dham or the pilgrims that come to visit there. one should not offend them by thinking that they're ordinary persons. Even the pilgrims that come here, you know, Bhakti and Susie and Bhakti Joe, they're pilgrims, and they come here for 1 day, 3 days. They're not ordinary. And maybe they have funny hairdos or funny clothes, and they may think our clothes are funny and our hairdos are funny. It's all relative. You know, someone comes with long hair and, you know, dreadlocks, and they think, oh, that's their style. And they see us, oh, you're weird, you know. And we look at them, well, you're weird. But both of them are offending each other. We have no right to offend a pilgrim. They should be honored and served and treated. Because our actual conclusion is they may be Krishna in disguise, or they may be demigods. We don't know who they are, and they don't know who we are. They should be careful, and we should be careful. Respect everyone, honor everyone, serve everyone, and ultimately you love everyone when you're Krishna conscious. Love means service. With every step in Mathura Mandala, one attains the piety of performing an ashwamedha yajna. So, in Mathura or Vrindavan, one attains piety greater than that which is attained in bathing in all the other holy places. Vrindavan, in the Skanda Purana Narada says, Vrindavan is the most confidential and topmost place of purity of all the seven holy cities. What are the seven holy cities? Prayag, Hardwar, Dwarka, Kashi. I think so, Puri. It's mentioned someplace, and I forget Puri. Dwarka, Kashi, Prayag, Hardwar, Mathura, Vrindavan. I forget. At any rate, this Vrindavan is the most confidential and topmost place of purity of all, according to the Skanda Purana. And Skanda Purana is not written by somebody from Vrindavan. The pious results obtained by 30,000 years of endeavor on earth is attained simply by remembering Vrindavan. In the Adi Varaha Purana it is said, the pious result one attains at Varanasi after 1,000 years is attained in a single moment in Vrindavan. The same pious result one attains at Prayag, the king of all holy places, by staying there 1,000 years, is attained every day at Vrindavan. So if you stay 1 day in Vrindavan, you get all the piety that you would get by staying at Prayag, and Prayag is the king of all holy places. Purne Barsha Sahasre Tu Tirtha Rajeshu Jatpalam Tatpalam Labate Devi Maturayam Dine Dine. That's the verse. Why is Vrindavan the most sacred city? Why is Mathura or Vrindavan the most sacred of all places? Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, enjoys his pastimes here eternally. For this reason is better than all the other holy places. If one thinks that Vrindavan or Mathura is an ordinary city, it should be known that person is filled with the greatest sins. He who does not see Vrindavan, although he yearns to see it, will take birth after his death in Vrindavan. 660 billion holy places reside in Vrindavan. Take a while to see all those places. Have you seen them all? 660 billion. That means in every inch you're stepping on a holy place. In the course of time, it may be possible to count the grains of dust on the earth, but it's not possible to count the holy places in Vrindavan. Why is Vrindavan or Mathura the best of all holy places? Liberation is the result of going or residing in other holy places. You get liberated. You go to Haridwar and you die there. You go and get liberated. But Hari Bhakti, or pure devotion to Hari, for which liberated souls pray for, is attained by living in Vrindavan. So, what time is it? Gauri, says Lord Shiva, if you desire to cross the ocean of repeated birth and death, then reside in Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan... Here's a candle, I like that one. Vrindavan is a strong boat which will take you to the other shore. Because no place... Let's see. I can't wait. Because no place in the three worlds is superior to Mathura, Vrindavan. I eternally stay there, says Krishna. In opulent Vrindavan, where Krishna stays, all the demigods and sages aspire to live eternally. By the mercy of Sri Vishnu, one attains residence in Vrindavan. Without Vishnu's mercy, one cannot stay for even a moment in Vrindavan. But somehow, in a previous life or in this life, we serve the Lord's devotees. We serve the Lord's devotees, knowingly or unknowingly. And because of that service, the Lord became pleased, and he took note of it. Although we have forgotten. We don't remember what we did last week. What did you do last week? Well, I don't know. What did you do 10 years ago, 15 years ago? What did you do last life? Did you serve any saints in your last life? Did you serve any holy people? Did you give any charity? Did you live in Germany or England or Africa? Maybe you send money to India for some mission or some sadhus and didn't know it or whatever. You don't know. But somehow we did something to please the Lord by pleasing the devotees. And they gave us permission to stay in this holy dham. They who die in the holy place in Vrindavan, in a home, in a courtyard, or on the road, will attain the Lord without a doubt. They who die in the area of Vrindavan become perfect and attain the supreme destination. A person who goes to Vrindavan is honored all over the three worlds. Such a person will become freed from all his sins. A person who is fasting, controlling his senses, and meditating on Krishna, playing in the water, stays there for 3 nights, becomes liberated. They who in Vrindavan see the deity of Devaki's son, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who never falls down, his name is Achyuta, attains Vishnu Loka, and he never falls down. A person who is filled with faith in Lord Krishna goes on a journey there, becomes free from all sins, and goes to Vishnu Loka. A deaf, dumb, blind, and foolish, and they who have no austerity or sense control, who in the course of time die in Vrindavan, go to Lord Vishnu's palace. So even if you don't do anything, but you die here, you go to Vaikuntha. Deaf, dumb, blind, foolish, and those who have no austerity or sense control. Just by dying here, at least you go to Vaikuntha. A human, a worm, an insect, a moth, or a bird who goes to Vrindavan and dies there becomes reborn as a four-armed resident of the spiritual world. So, you know, bring your insects to Vrindavan. If you have any insects in Germany or whenever you come, pack them in your suitcase, bring them over. Sometimes it happens, you know, you have a box or something and you're moving somewhere and there's some cockroaches in the box. I remember we were in Delhi and we were picking up some books to bring here, and there was a box and there were some cockroaches in the box. I said, well, boys, I told them, I said, you're going to Vrindavan. And sometimes flies get caught in the car. You're in a taxi cab or something, and the flies are in the car, and they come all the way to Vrindavan, and you open the window, and they fly out. Sometimes it goes the other way around. There's impious flies here, and they're caught in Vrindavan, and they have to go to Delhi. Maybe they go for preaching work or something, but generally there must be bad flies, because they got driven out of Vrindavan. Bad flies. A human, a worm, an insect, a moth, or a bird who goes to Vrindavan and dies there becomes reborn as like Kunta Bossi. A sage named Mathura performed austerity there for a long time. Beautiful Mathura is named after him. Mathura is the same as the syllable Om. Mathura is the same as the silver. Mathura om, om, om. Mathura is the same as the syllable om. The A, U, and M in Omkar come in the same letters in the word Mathura. And the syllable M is Lord Shiva. U is Lord Vishnu, and A is Lord Brahma. These three letters are the same as Mathura. Mathura is eternally the form of these three demigods. Liberation is a great result attained at other holy places. Devotional service to Lord Hari, for which liberated souls pray, is attained at Mathura. Seems to be a repetition there. They who stay three nights in Vrindavan, Lord Hari happily gives them what even liberated souls can attain. Living, the Padma Purana says, living in Vrindavan for a single day creates genuine devotion to Lord Hari, Hari Bhakti. Vrindavan is the best of the seven holy cities. A person who fasts at any time in Vrindavan and chants japa becomes free from all sin. Oh, residing in Vrindavan during Chaturmasya. Yeah, I think the Chaturmasya begins on Guru Purnima. Guru Purnima. Residing in Mathura during Chaturmasya. When Lord Janardhan goes to sleep, all the holy places, lakes, and seas on earth go to Vrindavan. Krishna sleeps for 4 months. No, these 4 months. Sri Krishna, anyone who sees Krishna in Vrindavan on Janmashtami, the sins of a million births perish in a single moment. A person who worships Krishna during my Janmashtami becomes free from all sins and goes to my abode. Jai Ho. So what does it mean to worship Krishna? Is cooking for Krishna considered worship of Krishna in Vrindavan? Do you cook for Krishna, feed for Krishna, is that considered worshiping? Huh? Yeah? Cooking for him, offering arties, bathing him, dressing him, glorifying him, singing for him. It's all worshiping him, right? A person who worships me during my Janmashtami becomes free from all sins and goes to my abode. That's Krishna saying himself in Adi Purana. All austerities are performed and all charity automatically given by one who goes to Vrindavan during Janmashtami, bathes in Vaishnavghat and worships Krishna and sees his deity form. Residing in Vrindavan during Kartik. In Vrindavan, bathing and worshiping during Kartik places one on the same planet as Krishna. The month of Kartik spent in Vrindavan brings the supreme destination. The day who, after properly bathing, worship Lord Damodar in Vrindavan during Kartik, attained forms like that of Lord Krishna. Residing in Vrindavan during Kartik is a rare attainment for humans. To they who worship Krishna there and then in that month, the Lord gives them their original spiritual form. If you even once serve Damodar, you'll easily get pure devotional service to Lord Hari. They who, even without proper mantras and offerings and without proper following the rules, worship Krishna and Vrindavan during Kartik, Lord considers as true devotees. The perfect atonement to purify the sins of a lifetime is to worship Damodar and Vrindavan and Kartik. Although Vrindavan is easy to visit in this world, and although Kartik comes every year, the fools still swim in the ocean of repeated birth and death. All holy places, rivers, streams, and lakes reside in Vrindavan during Kartik. Yamaraj says, nothing is better than to serve Damodar in Vrindavan during Kartik. Well, that's what Yamaraj says. You gotta take him pretty serious. Oh, I would assume so. And during Prabodhini Ekadasi, if you stay awake all night, Krishna Purana. Shukla Dwadasi, your days and your moon and see the Deva Lord Hari and Vrindavan, your team spring up in this. Okay. Let's see that. Srivandavan Dhamaki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai.